go to the gas station, right? Let's see, take your shoes off, take your socks off. Now we are really hoping you haven't got a cold.
I'm over here at the back,
Some of you, if you're from a Catholic background, you would know that once a year you take socks off. Once a year, the Pope washes people's feet. Have you seen that? Sometimes you see it on TV, you know, it's got this beautiful gold jug, and he goes around and he sort of washes people's feet. Now, as I said, we don't seem to do that in our churches, and I was just wondering whether we need to do it or what, you know? Is this something we're supposed to do? Sorry, you can go more than later.
You're right, mate.
Well,
right,
is this cup of water, please?
If it's not, it will be.
Now, the passage we read, I should have done it before. Well, it's cold today, isn't it? I don't work too much. But the passage I read is something that was perhaps in a very serious time. It was the, you know, just before Jesus was going to die. And it was the Passover, and they were having a meal together. And Jesus started to wash the disciples' feet. See, wait, just make sure we're happy with that. Is that the right thing to say?
It's quite good.
And so he got his, he took off his outclothing. Took off his outclothing. Wrapped the towel around his waist, okay, and then he started to wash the disciples' feet. Put his foot in there. Now, I mean, why do you think he was doing this? Put between his toes, you know, all the grunge and all that stuff. He put it on the edge there, don't make it close, and he put it to both of them.
as well, as a sign of honour, and
we fit. The idea is to say, this is the way that we show hospitality. And we lived in Africa for a long time, and the way that people showed hospitality to us was to bring a basin in, and we'd wash our hands before we go, because we didn't use knives and forks. And so this is still practiced in Africa, except you wash your hands and not your feet. And the Pope still does it. He does it very ritually, doesn't he? And there are some churches that do this. They practice this on a monthly basis or something like that. They feel that it's quite important to do that. Well, whether it's important or not, let's think about the passage that we have read today and see whether it's of any importance to us. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go home today and say we've got to start foot washing, all right? Not even at the practical things. But I think this passage has got something to teach us that is a little bit deeper than we often think, okay? And so let's think about it. So, in my particular outline here, I've got verses 3 to 5. It says there, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothes, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So they did that in those days as a sign of hospitality and also for a practical reason to keep people's feet clean. Now, I remember reading this passage years ago and getting totally confused by it, so I'm hoping that you're going to get confused today, because I want you to help me to answer some questions that relate to this passage. Because Peter is totally puzzled by it. It's funny, I mean, when you read through the passage, there's all these questions that could come out of it. And so have a look at Peter's like a tough guy, you know. So actually, the disciples have been arguing about who was the most important, you know, just before this. So they're sort of sitting there and no one's going to wash anybody's feet because no one's going to be with them, you know. And so Jesus gets up and starts to wash their feet. And Peter's been embarrassed. And so he says this in verses 6 to 7. He came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, now listen to this. This is Peter's first puzzle. Peter, you don't realise now what I'm doing. The lady will understand. Peter, you don't realise what I'm doing now. Well, what I'm helping you. He's washing the dirt off his feet. So that's Peter's first puzzle. Jesus is washing his feet. But Jesus says, maybe you don't know what I'm doing. You'll understand later. Okay? Now, has that raised one question in your mind? You got the answer to that question? And you need to see if we can work it out. Now, Peter's second puzzle is in verse 8. Because Nahu says, Peter, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part in it. Now, is that the second question that's raised in your mind? I mean, what's some servant washing your feet, getting the dirt from beneath your toes, between your toes out? What's that got to do with having a part with Jesus? And so Peter says, well, it's got something to do with relationship. And his mind is in mind. He's just got to say, okay, Jesus has got to do this, he's got to do this. And so his fellowship at stake, says Peter. His fellowship at stake. So Peter in verse 9 says, then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And so Peter sort of is trying to catch up with Jesus, with what Jesus is doing. And Jesus is washing his feet. He says, no, you can't even part with me if you don't allow me to go to wash your feet. And so, if that's the case, then wash everything. Just wash everything, because I don't want to be out of fellowship with you, Lord. I want to be friends with you entirely. Okay, now it gets more confusing. The plot thickens, okay? And in the third puzzle that Peter comes across in verses 10 to 11, Jesus answered, a person who's had a bath. Do you have a bath this morning, Shane?
No.
Very honest. A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body's clean. And you're clean. And then he says, why not have you one of you? You're clean. Why not have you one of you? And verse 11 is so to give us a little bit of a hint about what Jesus was on about. Verse 11, he says, for he knew who was going to betray him. Well, who was going to betray him? Come on. Who was going to betray him? Judas. Judas was going to betray him, and Jesus has got that in mind. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. So does that mean that Judas had a VO problem? I mean, he didn't have a part. I mean, look, Jesus looked around and said, no, you don't. I mean, don't sit beside Judas. He hasn't had a part for the last 3 weeks. I mean, was that what it was all about? Judas hadn't had a part. And so Peter equipped with these three couples from Jesus. What's Peter going to understand later? What's he going to understand later? Two, how can dirty feet interfere with fellowship? And three, which disciple has got to be open? Now that's quite confusing, isn't it? Now, as we've been thinking about that, can you put this together? I mean, we literally, was Jesus giving them a lesson in foot washing? Would you say, listen guys, this is what I'd like you to do, I'd just like you to wash a cup of sweet occasion and kick it off here? Or is there some hidden deeper meaning that he's got? So there's only a new background here that he's trying to teach them. The disciples are confused, Peter's confused, and of course what's going on, because he sort of reacts to what Jesus said. And so can you solve Peter's puzzle? I'm put the answers up there. Alright, no answers yet. What's going on here? What's going on? Sure. Ideas. No wrong answers. Every answer is a prize. What do you reckon? What is this conundrum, this problem that Peter is facing with what Jesus is saying to him?
Crucifixion
is coming, yeah, and so that's actually the background to this passage, because Jesus knew that this was going to happen, and he wanted to show them, there's full extent of his love, but there's something else. I mean, what? Did Judas not have a bar? Do you reckon?
He's dying, he's going to wash up.
All right, okay. Jesus' dying was going to wash us clean. Well, what does it say? I mean, why does it say that all of the disciples except Judas are going to bust? You're all clean, sir. Except for one, the one who's going to betray.
Because he was looking on the inside.
So Jesus wasn't checking out whether they'd use lust, soap, and water. He was looking inside. And he was saying, you're all clean, except for who wasn't clean? Jesus. You're all clean on the inside. You've all had a bath. So what's a bath? I mean, we know what a bath is, but what's a bath in Jesus' mind? Yeah. And so what are you saying to them is, look, you're all Christians. You're all members of the kingdom. You're all committed to the kingdom. Now, but we're in the middle stage. Jesus hadn't died yet, had he? He's going to die in a few days. Well, one day's time. He's going to die very close. But these disciples have made a commitment. Which one hasn't made a commitment? Judas. The disciples have made a commitment, but Judas hadn't made a commitment. So, Christians, you're all clean. You're all clean. So, we've got that much worked out. 11 of those disciples are Christians in the communism, right? They've made a commitment to Jesus. One of those disciples hasn't made a commitment to Jesus. The ones who have made a commitment have had their bar. Judas has not had his bar. He hasn't been washed, by the way, but he hasn't been born again, basically. The others have been born again. They've made their commitment to Jesus. So, being born again is like having a spiritual bar. Now, what's that got to do with dirty feet? He says, you're all clean. You've come to the meal, you're all clean except for Judas. And he gets down on his knees and he starts to wash the feet of the disciples. Why is he washing his feet?
It's a symbol of showing
his dad's gift as a servant. Okay, so he is serving them, most certainly, and it's a symbol all excitement. But why did he have to wash just a little part of Peter? Why is he washing Peter's feet? Peter's already had a heart. But why is he washing Peter's feet?
Because it was dirty.
Sorry?
Because it was dirty.
Because it was dirty. In what way? Did he have dirty feet? I mean, they did. I mean, I suppose they did have dirty feet. No, I'm going to wash them. That's on that physical level. But this is there's a spiritual message in this text, isn't there? There's too many questions in it for them to just say, oh, you're just washing his feet.
Jesus hadn't died yet.
Yep.
And when he did die, they accepted him. They would then become clean.
Okay. So their cleanliness, as with everybody in the Old Testament, was their bath was depending on what Jesus was going to do, what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, well I got you, have I? No? No. What's it going to be? Come on, what's the dirty feet fit? It's the rest of them clean.
I'm just guessing, I'm not sure, but yeah. Something like you are saved, even if you're saved, you still promise me it's with your walk, with the sort of repent and every sort of day by day parts of the forgiveness and for and this sort of involve itself sort of like putting yourself before God and something.
Right. What do you reckon? Does that go? Yeah. And so as Christians, as we are born again, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. But in our daily Christian walk, we get dirty feet. And so Jesus is saying to Peter, listen, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, the fellowship is broken. The fellowship is changed. Oh, you never wash my feet. You don't understand what I'm doing. He says to Jesus, and so our daily walk can result in dirty spiritual feet. And Jesus is always ready to wash our feet. You know that verse 1 John 1 and 9? If we confess our sins to him, Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our righteousness. Let's see the word cleanse. Okay? To wash our feet. And so the first point that Jesus was making to the disciples was, look, I know that you are clean, you're going to be covered by my blood tomorrow, you're going to have a bath, however, in your daily Christian walk, you're going to get dirty feet. You have to let me come and wash your feet. Nobody else can wash our feet. Jesus is the one who's going to come and wash our feet. But, as Glenn said, we have to ask him to do it. And we have to let him do it. Otherwise, we get very smelly at times, don't we? Even as Christians, my wife happens, I do anyhow. Even as Christians, I go along my walk and do something bad, something wrong, and there's this smell about me, in inverted commas, which shows that I'm not walking properly in the faith. And so there's the first lesson that Jesus would like us to learn, I believe, from this passage. There's another one, however, because he goes on in verses 13 to 15, and he says to them, we need to be washing one another's feet. Now, does he mean getting bathed into water and getting shame out the front? He gets to that shame out the front here and washing one another's feet. What do the verses say? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am now, but I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I'll set you an example, but you should do as I have done for you. Now, if you're talking about humility and servanthood, yeah. I mean, it takes a servant to wash somebody else's feet, but what do you mean by this, do you think? If we're following along in the same picture, how can I wash your feet? What's your problem? If you've got dirty feet, it means you've fallen apart in the Christian walk, doesn't it? It means you've got sin in your life, that there's something going on in your life. And so Peter places the responsibility on fellow Christians to deal with one another's dirty feet. It's not an easy thing to do, to deal with people's dirty feet, is it? People who are leaders in the church know what it's like. It's very difficult to do. But he doesn't say, I want you to teach the elders to deal with people's dirty feet. He says to the disciples, wash one another's feet. By your Lord and Master have done, you should also be prepared to do that. Now, there's a couple of verses from Matthew, in Matthew's Gospel, words of Jesus, listen to this, in Matthew chapter 5. Who was responsible? Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come, offer your gift. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, okay, I'm coming to offer my gift at the altar, and I'm about to offer it, and what do? What's the text say? What do I do? I'm going to offer my gift at the altar, and what about it? Suddenly this balloon comes in your brain here, and what does it say? Oh, Scott's got something against me. Oh, who's got something? Who's the wrong one? Who's the bad person? Scott's got something against me. They remember that Scott has something against me. Scott the wrong one? Yeah. It's sort of not that clear, is it? You know? I might have done something wrong, or I might not have done something wrong. You know what it's like. We get our nose out of joint with anything, and we sort of make this guess about why this person's not talking to us, or whatever. And it's usually wrong, isn't it? About 95% of the time, but we get all, that problems. Okay? That's Scott. I do remember that Scott's got something. How can I tell if Scott's got something against pretty easy, isn't it? Scott's not talking to me. Scott won't shave the head. Scott looks the other way when we have eye contact. Pretty easy to tell if somebody's got something against you, isn't it? Now, I might have done something wrong, or I might not have. But what does it say to do? I trust it. Leave your gift at the altar before offering it. Go to Scott. And what do I say? Yeah. Now, what do? I say, go punching out. This might not get him off. Okay. My purpose in going to talk to him is to be reconciled. What does that mean? To become better friends with. Better friends with. Now, we might be having a long-term argument with somebody. Pretty hard to become better friends with, isn't it? But that's what Jesus says we should do. Okay. Who has the dirty suit? Might be Scott. Might be me. Who needs to do something about it? What does Jesus say? The elders. The elders should do something about it. The elders should see this is happening and they should do something about it. Hopefully do something about it. Somebody else should do it. No, it doesn't say that. Who's Jesus talking to me? I'll look at you. What are his words there? He says, you. Jesus going to do something about it? Me. Me. I'll do something about it. It's all right. Same thing, okay? Matthew 6:18, Jesus talking again. If your brother sins against you, now in the NIV they say it's possible to sin, not sins against you, but sins. Okay, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. Just between the two of you. Don't go and tell somebody else. Don't go and tell the elders and say, well, you'd have to do something about it. If your brother sins against you, first go to your brother, okay? Just between the two of you. If he listens, what have we done? We've become better friends with our brother. Okay? If he listens, he's won your brother over. Who has the dirty suit? In this case, it's your brother. Okay? That's the other person. Who needs to do something? The elder. No. The pastor. No. I need to do something about it. Who said these words? Both of these lots of words, who's been quoted here? Come on. Jesus. Don't list him. What makes a good foot washer? Okay, I'm going to finish with this verse. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. If I'm going to go and wash your feet, if you're going to come and wash my feet, this is the sort of person we need to do it, okay? Because lots of people do it the wrong way. Lots of people do it the wrong way. I do it the wrong way, times two. Galatians 6, 1 to 2, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So what makes a good foot washer? The first point is it's a spiritual person. You can't expect to go up and wash somebody else's feet if you've got dirty feet. I can't expect to do that either. I have to be spiritually clean. I have to come to Jesus and say, "Look, Jesus, I believe there's somebody that I need to talk to about our relationship. Before I do that, will you wash my feet?" Now that sort of changes the way we approach something, doesn't it, you know? If we let Jesus wash our feet and get us clean completely before we go, then we're going to have the right sort of attitude in dealing with that situation. Now when I have to wash Shane's feet, I get down on me. That's the only way to wash somebody's feet, unless you get them to sit up on this big podium and do it in front of everybody. But you've got to get on your knees and you've got to get dirty to wash people's feet. It's not very nice. I think dirty feet are very smelly. And if you're going to wash somebody's feet, it's not easy. You've got to get on your knees and you have to be aware of the fact that it's going to be very difficult to do. So that's the first thing. We need to be spiritual pieces, spiritual people, people who are prepared to get on our trip on our knees to wash people's feet. The second thing in this verse is that we have to be committed to restoration. It's no good just giving somebody a major serve and saying, you're idiot, get over it. I mean, that's not the purpose. The whole purpose of foot washing is a relational thing. That's why Jesus says, if you don't let me do it, we can have no part. And so when I try and deal with somebody who's got a problem, who's got dirty feet, then my purpose is to make better friends with them. It's just to get a better relationship going with this person. If there's been hurt, that there's a long, long, long time been going on, that is a very difficult thing to achieve. But we need the right attitude, and if my attitude is right, it might take that person 150 years to change, but my attitude needs to be right. I need to keep the door open, make the approaches, and if they punch me in the face, well, I'll try. That's what happens sometimes when we try to make things speak. And so the purpose is to restore the person. Matthew 5 says, be reconciled to your brother. Matthew 8 says, win your brother over. Washing feet is trying to restore the person. Now, the next thing is gently. You know, sometimes when we go to wash people's feet, we boil water very, very hot. And we say, excuse me, I just like to wash my feet. We blast them apart, don't we? We don't do it right. We do it with our kids, can't we? You know, wash their feet and boil up the jug. They get all the blisters over their feet. Oh, I did. I thought maybe I was going to say it, but I did. Gentleness is a part of foot washing. It's an approach that we need to take. We're going to restore them, so it needs to be done gently. And then, Paul is talking to this church, and he's saying, hey, if you're going to do this, you need to watch out for yourself. Because we're just as big as sinners as each other. And something that I might be giving somebody a caning about might be exactly what I'm doing privately. And I'm so embarrassed about the fact that I'm doing it privately that I take it out on everybody else. And so be careful. People who are going to be foot washers and washers need to be able to watch themselves. Jesus told a story about the guy who was trying to get that twig out of somebody's eye. You know that story? And he talked about hypocrites. And like, I mean, can you imagine if you're trying to, people grind up very sensitive things. Very sensitive things. And you come up and you say, excuse me, a twig in your eye there. And you've got this amazing log in your own eye. Now, can I help you? It's not possible, is it? People's eyes are very sensitive, and we can get a finger in there. We can't make a clue. We can't see. We can't see because we've got a very big rock in our own eyes. And so Jesus is saying here, he's telling us that story. Don't be a hypocrite when you try and deal with somebody else's sin. It comes back to the whole business of getting our feet washed first with Jesus before we go to somebody else and try to help. And so who's responsible? I suppose that's the question. Is it somebody that Jesus touched? Peter. He did understand later, didn't he? He got very dirty later. Very dirty. Lord, I won't deny you. Lord, the cock crows, you have been on 3 times, Peter. Oh, rubbish. Lord, rubbish. 3 times. disturbed. It comes to Peter later on and he says, Peter, do you love me? I wonder why he asked me three times. So John 13, verses 13, 14 and 17. You call me teacher and Lord and right to say, but that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And verse 17 says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed to do them.